Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To me on the next one, I was like, I'm about to fire this. You know, they backed up a little bit and I just rose up.
Loading up and shooting logo shots all over the place in the NBA All-Star game that ends 170 to 150. Entertaining night at State Farm Arena last night as Team LeBron wins dramatic fashion. And you had the three-point shootout that went down to the buzzer. Last shot with Steph Curry having to knock it down, and the slam dunk that was kind of truncated into halftime and stuff, but still very well done. And I thought all around, welcome back to the Morning Show with John Hugh. Hugh, I thought all the way around, very, very good production. Thought, the television production was good. I thought everything worked as planned. You know, I mean, my only gripe is that, you have five guys, including three Atlanta Hawks, who are slam dunk champions who can't figure out how to score a slam dunk, because nobody knows how to score a slam dunk.
It's what you like, John. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what it's always been, that, you know, and that's how it's always been.
I know.
You know, it's their own personal opinion, how they feel about the dunks that are made by the kids. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I felt like for that. Cassius Stanley, because I think he got kind of ripped off on his first dunk, which I thought was one of the two better dunks of the night. But nonetheless, Simons wins, beating Toppin, and congrats to him. So big nights for a lot of guys. Giannis, had a gigantic night, 16-16 from the floor. But, having to throw this event kind of together, moving it from Indianapolis to Atlanta, putting it all in one day, and having to make it, the court look great, the setup look great, Hugh. I thought the players had a good time. I was worried because, the players were grumbling out loud. LeBron among them, saying, they didn't so much want to be here. They didn't want to play in this game. And yet I think the night came off pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but the reason why they didn't want to be there was kind of warranted when you talk about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and how it, they got DQ'd for contact tracing. So, I mean, it's kind of warranted the way that mostly everybody felt. It was like, why are we putting on an All-Star game? We're still in the middle of this thing. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it was a great weekend. It was great for the NBA. It was great for the city. A lot of people came to the city, and, a lot of promoters and people made money. So, good for the economy.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, very good for the economy. I think that, a lot of places around there needed that shot in the arm, because it's been a minute here. And we're going to get more and more events, and things are going to start to return more and more to normal, and more fans are going to be down there, and concerts will soon come back, and of course we'll have fans for football and for events at Mercedes-Benz as well. So all of it's going to be it's going to be good. So good. I'm glad. Maybe this All-Star game will be something that really is kind of a launching point in terms of revitalizing the economy in and around Centennial Olympic Park and the downtown entertainment core there. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So I'm very happy about what happened, Hugh. I think it was a really good night, really good weekend for the city of Atlanta. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but all in all, I think it went better than I even expected that it would. And I thought the Sunday was really well done. So I'm very happy about that. This is the first of the two All-Stars we're going to get in Atlanta, because we'll have the Major League All-Star game here in July. Big night for Georgia State. We wish the Panthers the best. If they win tonight against Appalachian, Hugh, they're going to be in the big dance. We're going to have two teams in. You were talking about earlier about how, Georgia, playing against South Carolina in women's basketball. Mike Griffith mentioned it too. The SEC has a long storied history of tremendous women's basketball, and even Georgia does back in the Andy Lander days. it's now a case where we keep wondering when basketball is going to hit here in the state of Georgia on a college level, especially for the men, on a year-in, year-out basis. And this year, of the three big schools, we could have two that make it into the NCAA tournament because Georgia Tech is in, and if Georgia State wins, they're in. And I don't think Georgia, with Tom Crean, is far away. Tom Crean's going to do nice things in Athens, Hugh. He's going to do really nice things.
It seems like basketball is kind of turning the corner. You know, you talk about the SEC championship. I know it's a women's game, but I think that was a big deal. You know, because Coach Staley's team in South Carolina, they've been she's been recruiting some really good players over the past few years. So yeah, I think and for Coach Taylor to have the girls right there with them and take them down to the wire like that, I think that's a pretty impressive feat for her.
No question. And Georgia's women's team will make the women's tournament. All right, I'm going to blank here. Abe might know. I think it's a women's tournament, San Antonio. I want to see that it is. I think so. And now we get the SEC tournament this weekend for the men. Georgia will play on Thursday to open Thursday night at 7 o'clock against Missouri. That's a tall task. Mizzou's really good. And Georgia's only route, unfortunately, Hugh, for the Dogs, the only route that Georgia has into the NCAA tournament is to win the SEC. That's it. They got to get the automatic berth. Then nothing else is going to do it for them. And we don't know who Georgia Tech's going to play yet. That'll be determined by opening games. Their first game in the ACC tournament in Greensboro on 2:30 on Thursday. So we'll keep our eyes on the Jackets. Well, I think Jackets are in whether they win or not. You would think that they might be. You know, Georgia Tech, you finished fourth place in the ACC. In fourth place.
That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Fourth place in the ACC. So we'll keep our eye on that big week of conference basketball tournaments to determine the number one seeds and who's going to be going where. And, of course, next Sunday will be Selection Sunday. I think the NCAA's got this. I wasn't really sure about how, you know, kind of playing over my mind, how's it going to work that they're going to be in one town with the tournament. I think that they'll be fine. I think they'll be able to pull this off. And so I think the tournament's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get our brackets back out, and I think it's going to feel like an NCAA tournament because, you know, for a long time, things didn't necessarily have that feel, Hugh, that it was sports, but because there were no fans and, you know, whatnot, it didn't feel like stuff. But we saw over the weekend, if you happen to watch any of the golf over the weekend, this is the first time that we had a big crowd at golf, and it felt like you were watching a golf tournament. There were, I don't know, 8,000-10,000 fans at the golf tournament. Masters is saying that they could have upwards of 20,000 for the Masters next month. So we're starting to get back to normal, and things are feeling like sporting events again. And that's kind of neat. I mean, because it gives that – you don't realize how much you miss the crowd until you don't have a crowd. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting the fans back. And
so you're going to some of these events, John?
Well, I am going to – you know, I haven't been to a sporting event. I will tell you this, Hugh. All right, you want a little insight. I had not been in a restaurant. It was Friday the 13th, March 13th of last year, and I went to the La Perilla, okay?
La Perilla.
But over the weekend, we went into a – we went to a Schlotzky's to get – you know, we were going to park, Nick, and we go into a Schlotzky's. And get the Schlotzky sandwiches, and there's really nobody in there, so we stayed inside the restaurant and ate the Schlotzkys.
You know what? All that's fine and good, John, but you ain't answered the question that I asked.
Oh, yeah. Well, so the answer is yes. Well, I told you, yeah. I think I'm going to go see Kennesaw State play football.
Okay.
You know, they're playing
what about the All-Star game? Baseball.
Well, you know, maybe, yeah, by that point, sure. You know, I mean, that's July, so I think, you know, we've got plenty of time. I mean, I go to the All-Star game itself? Probably not. I'd rather go to a Braves game than the All-Star game.
I think since it's so close, and, you know, if I do decide to go, I'll probably wear a mask, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I don't know, hopefully we'll have some kind of presence out there. I mean, us as a radio station, who knows? But I would go to that, and I would definitely be masked up. I would definitely have on my masks to go to the game. But that was something I would like to do. I would do that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's good. I mean, I'm very happy to see kind of a return to normalcy. I think really this, you know, because right now we're at all these anniversaries, and we have this anniversary of the Rudy Gobert moment, and then we have the anniversary right of the tournament when they stopped on the Big East tournament. I mean, that's this week, last year. So this is like 1 year, you know, from removed from when everything kind of shut down. The NBA shut down, then the, you know, the NCAA tournament shut down. And so this NCAA tournament I'm really looking forward to. We haven't had one in 2 years. And so we missed it last year. And I'm really looking forward to this tournament. I'm looking forward to Selection Sunday, even though, you know, I don't necessarily have a dog in the hunt. You know, I'll root for – that's why I hope Georgia State wins tonight. Give me another team to root for.
You're just rooting for normal. Sound like you're just rooting for it to get as close to normal as it possibly can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's about – you're right. It's yeah, that's why I said, you know, when they took it to one town, I went, oh, how's this going to work? Now I can see how it's going to work. I mean, I don't think you'll – look, because the floor is the same everywhere, I don't think you notice that much that you're in Tucson or you're in, you know, Hartford, Connecticut, you know, or whether you're here or anywhere else. So I think they'll be able to pull this off. You know, it's not like it has, you know, nobody has a home court advantage anyway. So I think they'll be able to pull this off. And I think it'll be – I'm hoping we'll have a great tournament. Hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to some of the – you know, some of the potential games. Because we'll get a Cinderella, Hugh. We'll get somebody. Yeah, and by the way, don't look now, but remember a couple of years ago with the nun in Loyola of Chicago? Remember that thing? Right, with the sister, I forget her name. Sister Margaret, Sister Mary, whatever her name was. And Loyola of Chicago, and they were the big kind of hot thing. Suddenly they made the Final Four. Sister Jean, thank you. Well, guess what? Loyola of Chicago is back there again. I mean, they're like 26-4, and they just won their conference, and they're back in the tournament again. So here comes the Loyola of Chicago again. Maybe they can be a Cinderella. That'd be a lot of – and, we'll, and you know, big stories like, will Gonzaga actually win it this year, you? For all the chatter, will Gonzaga actually win the NCAA tournament?
There's a lot going on. And I know Michigan State had a big win this weekend. Michigan
State.
No kidding. So, yeah.
You know, Michigan was there and killing everybody, and suddenly they come down the end of the wire here, and they get run off the court by Illinois. Then they lose to Michigan State.
And you know what was surprising? Iowa. Iowa has a pretty good team. Got a chance to kind of watch a little bit of college basketball this weekend. Mm-hmm. And who Baylor beat up on? I think Baylor would beat up on Texas Tech. Was it Texas Tech they beat up on this weekend? Yeah.
Yeah, well, Iowa's got a great player, Luka Garza. I mean, he is really, really good. He'll be a high pick in the draft, Luka Garza from Iowa. So, and Jalen, you'll get to know these guys. You'll get to know Luka Garza of Iowa. You'll get to know Jalen Suggs of Gonzaga. You'll get to know these top-rated players. There are some tweets that I want to bring up. There are three of them in particular that I want to bounce off you that were two of which were not directed at us, but one that was directed at us that I'm not sure he saw, and I'm going to read it to him and get his reaction to it, kind of asking us or pointing a finger at us about something that I want to know if we're actually guilty of this. We'll do that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
So where he is to where he is now, it's an incredible story.
That was Josh Pastner talking to Hugh and I last week, talking about Moses Wright and how he had developed. And Hugh, I asked him, I said, boy, you know, you watch Tech's got, whether it's, you know, DeVoe or Alvarado, they've got really good players. But it's this Moses Wright who just takes over games. I mean, just totally takes over games and has down the stretch become – you know, such a force. And just now, to give you an idea of how much of a force, just now we've just gotten word that Moses Wright has been named the ACC Player of the Year.
All right. Congratulations to him. For a guy that just haven't picked up the game, that hasn't been playing that long, that's pretty impressive.
That's really impressive. It's been a minute since a Georgia Tech player was named ACC Player of the Year. And so Moses Wright of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jacks, another little you know, feather in the cap of Georgia Tech, which has been one of the hottest teams in the nation here down the stretch that we mentioned earlier. They are in the NCAA tournament, no matter what happens in the ACC tournament. But, boy, you might as well continue this hot play. They have been really a force, Tech has. And suddenly they could go into the NCAA tournament a red-hot team. And Moses Wright of Georgia Tech named the ACC Player of the Year for Josh Pastner, a fourth-place finish. Winning their final six games, they've beaten Duke, they've beaten North Carolina, they've beaten Kentucky, they've beaten Louisville, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Notre Dame. I mean, they have really played well. And, you know, for a team that began the year with back-to-back losses to Georgia State and to Mercer, now you go back to the Georgia State game that they lost in overtime, Josh Pastner said at that time to us that they had, you know, 2 weeks of no practice because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Georgia State wins tonight against Appalachian State in the Sun Belt Championship, and Georgia Tech will have lost to a team that's in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it's not like a bad loss or anything. And Mercer's a pretty good team too. From them to be 0-2 to where they are now, the growth of that team, this
in
will
a
be
short period of time too. And he attributed it all to, like, you know, just getting out there practicing and working, because that was one of the things that he talked about earlier, John, is that, you know, they didn't have a chance to work together that much. And that was probably a big issue for them.
And the hits just keep coming. Jose Alvarado, the senior guard, has been named the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Wow, Georgia Tech getting all the honors right now. And Josh Pastner might be up for Coach of the Year in the ACC. So there was a period probably 2 years ago or so where Josh Pastner's future at Georgia Tech was up in the air. I'll be kind. I think there were a lot of people saying, yeah, he got to go. And, you know, Georgia Tech, you know, held its ground here, and Josh Pastner's rewarding them. Now the question is, how deep into this tournament can Georgia Tech make a run? You know, I mean, as hot as they are, again, they're one of the hotter teams in the nation. Could they make a huge run in this tournament? Maybe. And that'll be a lot of fun to watch. Georgia fans are out there rolling their eyes, but no, you know what?
Anything is possible. Yeah. I mean, in this year, when you talk about there are so many different teams that, you know, you can't really – it's kind of like you got Gonzaga and everybody at the top and everybody's kind of lumped together. You never know. Somebody get hot at the right time, John. Anything is possible.
So let's hope that Georgia State wins tonight against Appalachian. We wish Tom Crean the best at Georgia. It's a high bar. He's got to play Missouri in its opening game, and as Georgia's going to have to win – they're going to have to make just sort of a spectacular run to the SEC championship. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Georgia's not an awful team. I mean, they're pretty decent. You know, they at times struggled a little bit. But at other times, I think Tom Crean expected more out of his team this year. But nonetheless, you know, if Georgia gets hot at the right time, maybe we can get them all in the tournament. And I think it portends to what we've been talking about how college basketball around here, the recruiting grounds for high school football, we all understand. They're incredibly fertile. Atlanta is the hottest market in America right now for high school football recruiting. I mean, star after star after star after star after star. Come look at the quarterbacks come out. I mean, go back to Cam and just down the list, whether it's Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence or not Brock Vandergriff, and all these guys that come out of Deshaun Watson and all these guys that come out of Atlanta, they're all out of here. It's really amazing. Now we're starting to see where we've been talking about it, where high school basketball is that good, Hugh, at this level. And if you could just recruit the kids in Metro Atlanta, in the Metro Atlanta area, there's no reason the big schools can't be good, can't be really good, can't be national championship good. Just don't let Kentucky come down here and steal guys no more. That's what happens, is we get raided by other schools. And you just have to put up a wall around this area and try and keep the kids at home. And hopefully Josh Pastner and Tom Crean could do that at Georgia and Georgia Tech. All right, I mentioned a couple of tweets. One tweet was aimed at kind of us. And I'm curious about this tweet here, Hugh. This guy was coming at me. He wasn't coming at you. He was coming at me, but he happened to mention us, so I thought I'd mention to you. He was a guy named Dino, okay? We were talking about the Hawks and going back and forth about the Hawks over the weekend. And he accused us of something, and I'm just wondering if this is true. He says, you know, I said, you know, because I eventually said to him, hey, listen, you might want to listen to the show. I don't think you're accurate in your descriptions here of being, you know, honks, and, you know, might help you. And he says, this is what he said. Listen daily, and you guys, meaning you and I, are never critical of the Hawks players. Then when you do say something critical, you quickly temper it with an excuse. You'll lambaste the Braves and the Falcons, but never the Hawks. Nope. That true?
I would say he doesn't listen to the show, because I've never lambasted anybody. That's not I have never been a host that sits here and calls anybody or calls anybody out or anything like that. I try to explain everything. Every position that I take is from an explanation standpoint. I don't get on here and call people garbage or say that they're terrible or things like that. You can't find a cut where I've ever done that ever. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And as far as the Hawks are concerned, I mean, there's been some criticism, but at the same time, you know, as far as the coaches and everything, I even handle that with kid gloves to a certain extent, because I don't feel like that needs to be my position. As far as a former player is concerned, I don't feel like I have to do that. You know, there are some hosts, and I'm not mad at any of them, because everybody has their lane that they're in. There are some hosts that get on here and they want to talk about the person's you know, the way that they play or the fact that they saw UFOs and they don't need their quarterback doing things like that. Yeah, I'm talking about Colin Cowherd. That's not the position that I have to take. So I don't know what he's talking about. And I've never done that. And as far as talking about anything, saying anything negative about the Hawks, I come from a perspective of talking about what somebody needs to do better. That doesn't make you I don't think that makes you a great radio, television, or whatever avenue or venue that you work in. I don't think that makes you a great host to get on there and just talk bad about folks just to be talking bad about them.
Well, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and listen, not mad at the cats that have made a ton of money and are still making a ton of money by doing that. That's just not the lane that I choose to be in.
Yeah, I listen daily, and you guys are never critical of the Hawks players. I'm thinking, wow, I've been pretty pointed about John Collins. I mean, we were pretty pointed, you know, how disappointed we were in him, you know, for the 25-game suspension last year and for the fact that if he really wants to be a max player, he can't not, you know, give us a minus 37 stat line or whatever it was earlier in the year. I think we're, you know, we're critical, and there's no excuse for that.
Plus, John, I look at it like this. We're never, like, for some people, we're never going to be one way or another. It's always going to be an issue, no matter what you do. No matter what you do. Just like that person said, I appreciate him listening. I don't know what he's listening to, but that's not the position. I don't think that's the position that I take. I don't think that's the position you take. And sometimes there's been times where you've been overly critical of folks, and I try to rein you in a little bit. So I don't know what he's listening to, but I appreciate him listening.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, and the other part that will lambaste the Blazers, you know, honestly, you know,
I know for a fact I've never lambasted them. I've never done that.
I've been trying to think of how many players I've lambasted. I mean, obviously, I just tore Ryan Leaf apart when I was in Southern California for the obvious reasons that I was there for all of it and I saw what he was and he deserved it. Frankly, he was a really bad guy, really bad. So I, you know, I mean that, but aside from him and I've grown to, you know, have a different relationship with Ryan over the years. But yeah, I mean, for me to lambaste somebody who you'd have to do something, I mean, you'd have to be a bad guy, I guess. Not just a player who doesn't perform up to what I think. You'd have to be a bad guy. If you're a bad guy, I gave Jim Leibowitz did something that I tore him apart for, too. I thought he was really bad. But you have to do something really bad to get
Leibowitz. I mean, like I said, that's not the lane that I need to live in. I don't need to live in that lane.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. Telling the game coming up top of the hour, Andy and Randy. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. Time the game will be a very interesting week as we go towards Selection Sunday. All these conference tournaments, see who can get into the big dance here. Also, a very busy week for the NFL. Ian Rappaport with a tweet just now saying a storyline to follow is the official salary cap number doesn't come. If the official salary cap number doesn't come out today, the NFL might have to move back the franchise tag deadline, which is set for tomorrow. They haven't quite figured out what the salary cap is going to be this year because they're trying to project it, Hugh, as to how much revenue they're going to have. And in other words, how full of the stadium is going to be. And they're trying to guess, you know. So are the stadiums going to be half full? Are they going to be, you know, how much money do we have to play with here for the teams this season? So they haven't come out with a firm. There's been no salary cap, a firm salary cap, which has stopped a lot of teams from being able to make moves because – you know, you're saying, okay, you say we're $20 million over, in the case of the Falcons, we're $20 million over the cap. Are we really $20 million over the cap, or are we only 10? We don't know.
Yeah, and that's why I said it's going to be interesting to see what initially happens and who gets cut, because I think that's what people are waiting on. They're waiting to get that hard number to see where that's going to put them at and what moves that they have to make. That's why I think it's going to be surprising when you hear that potentially some of the names that might be cut. I don't know, but I think it would be surprising to find out who potentially might get cut when all of that comes down.
Yeah, it's going to be really an intriguing week ahead of next Monday, a week from today, when legal tampering begins. Legal tampering really is the beginning of free agency in the NFL. And so next Monday, they'll be announcing a lot of guys signing deals as free agents. They won't officially be able to sign them until when the league year begins on Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, but still, they'll make the, I mean, everybody will know it's legal. Everybody will say, yeah, we've come to agreement with, you know, player X, you know, Alex Smith is going to sign here, or Cam Newton's going to sign here, or Jameis Winston's going to sign here. And so there's a lot to be determined in this next week. And you would think, like, one of the things we're on our radar is that Drew Brees is going to have to make a decision one way or the other. I mean, the New Orleans Saints are going to say, look, you got to let us know here. We can't go out signing a quarterback if you're coming back. If you're not coming back, we need to know. You would think that they would have to say, you know, what's going on here, Drew? I mean, are you know, was Drew wanting to cut him? I mean, is that what they're asking? John, I have no idea.
That's what you want them to say, John? They're not doing that. They're giving Drew as much time as he needs to figure out the decision that he's going to make. And just say, for instance, John, if he decides to stay, then they're going to accommodate Drew Brees. That's how I feel about the situation. Because you want them to just say, Drew, what you going to do if we can figure out what we're going to do? They're going to give him as much time, and they're going to give him as much grace as he needs to make this decision. Because if they move forward, if Drew Brees feels like he can play, they're going to let him play. That's mm-hmm. how I see it. Now, because Sean Payton has done a tremendous job of, putting a team around him that allows them to be successful. So I don't see this being any different.
Yeah, and we see what happens. The futures of a lot of quarterbacks are hanging in the balance. All the quarterbacks that are already out there, the Jameis, Cams and Alex Smiths that are already out there, and the ones that potentially could be changing teams, or we don't know what's going to happen to them. Of course, we're talking about Deshaun and Dak and Russ, the big three, because there's even more chatter today about Russ. I know that it's hard for me to wrap my brain around it, but ever since we mentioned it about 3 weeks ago, the chatter out of Seattle was that Russ could be on the move. To see Russell Wilson in a different uniform will be certainly odd. But I guess I didn't really, I thought, oh, they'll figure this out. But no, it doesn't sound like they're figuring out much.
No odder than seeing Tom Brady in a Bucs uniform.
I know.
I would think, I mean, this is the nature of the beast, John. I mean, it's just amazing to me how this story has evolved in the course of a couple weeks. It went from, Russ isn't happy, to, these are the teams that Russ say he want to play for, and things of that nature. So this story has evolved. I don't know what to believe. I tend to think some of these stories are fabricated until they become true, because that's the news cycle that we live in nowadays. People like to stir up stuff when there's nothing really there. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, haven't really heard that much from Russ since this whole thing. I mean, it's a lot of speculation. It's people talking about, what's coming out of his camp. I haven't heard Russ say anything. And kind of like for me being in the news right now and being in the media, that's kind of where I'm going to be with mine. Until I hear that person actually say something about it, I'm just going to tend to just listen to – I'm not going to pay attention to too much being said. I'm going to look at it and, I'll be able to talk about it. But outside of believing it, I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well, the same is true of, I've been running with this whole, coaches, anonymous sources, but anonymous sources to big name people. I mean, not necessarily directly to Adam Schefter, but we're talking about big name people out there who are tweeting out these stories here that they're talking to their sources who say that this week is going to be, and the one word we saw was massacre. One NFL coach said it's going to be a massacre in terms of the number of players that get cut. And it's going to shock people how many players get cut because of the lower cap. And now we'll see if that all develops, but that's what we're expecting. And it could be a really surprising week with some quarterbacks. And it's interesting the spin, like Denver is suddenly spinning. I see stories out of Denver where Drew Locke is really on a path to becoming a star quarterback in the NFL. I'm like, oh, okay, that was what I heard last week, not what I seen you.
But then again, you got to think, John, the timing of everything. We're getting ready for the draft. There's probably some stories that are going to be put out there, smoke screens and things of that nature. That's why you can't really put too much stock into all of that. You just got to wait and kind of see what happens. I know that's not what, most people want to hear, but I think that's the smart way to handle it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're talking about every story that's speculating, every story that you hear, a lot of that stuff is being put out there by teams to as a bait and switch situation. So, yeah.
Right.
It just all depends.
Well, it will be interesting to see this free agent period, you know, from an Atlanta Falcons standpoint, not just from the standpoint of who the Falcons will cut or if when they create room or who they will restructure if they choose to do that and create salary cap room in order to be able to go out and get a free agent or two and who they can make a run at, because the Falcons have a couple of things that are true. One is they're limited by money, and the other problem is they did finish dead last in the NFC last year. So, you know, there are other, you know, if there are guys out there who they may be interested in who are going to be ring chasing, they're not coming here. You know, they're going to go, I'm not going to Atlanta. I mean, they're in a division with, you know, the Saints and the, no, I want to go somewhere where I can win a ring, because they're going to look at the Falcons thing. Are you, as a free agent, thinking, yeah, I want to win a ring. Let's go play for the Falcons. So, not that the Falcons couldn't win the Super Bowl next year. Who knows? Anything is possible. But we will get a good idea of what the Falcons will be able to do in the draft once all the free agent dust settles, because we'll see the teams, Hugh, that miss out on the free agent quarterbacks. We're talking about the teams like the Jets and the Niners and the Panthers, the Bears, you know, those teams that, you know, maybe even the Broncos, because I'm not sure I buy in the whole Drew Lock thing, or what happens with Dallas. Who needs to have a quarterback when the free agent dust settles? Washington football team. Who needs to have that quarterback? And, you know, who could be potential trading partners for the, you know, Atlanta Falcons in that spot? Or does everybody solve their issue and we just play quarterback shuffle and move quarterbacks around and everything is good and the Falcons don't really have anybody to trade with? So that'll be, I think, the most intriguing thing here in free agency. See who's left standing, you know, so to speak. Because, you know, the Falcons do have a desirable spot in terms of that fourth pick.
Yeah, they're gonna. I guess the biggest thing, John, is just see where they are and who's gonna trade with them. If they find something a little bit more lucrative than what they feel is ready or available at that pick, let's mm-hmm. just see. I still think that personally, they're gonna get a quarterback. I just feel like whatever that first pick is, he's gonna be a quarterback. Now, if they feel like the way that the draft is going, that they can get the guy that they want and move back in the draft a little bit to get that guy, that'll be the case. But I don't think so, because I think that there's a premium on quarterbacks. A lot of people want quarterbacks. So I think that if they're going to pull the trigger on one, if anything, they're probably going to have to move up, you know, to put themselves in position to get one of the ones that they want. I don't see them moving back.
It will be interesting if they stay at four. You have to trust your boy. This is where you really have to trust your own judgment here in all this, because I'm not sure I've seen a year where I've seen, well, first off, let's talk about the mock drafts and the fact that I've seen literally a dozen different players mocked to the Atlanta Falcons, at least a dozen. And I've never seen quite so much uncertainty and volatility when it comes to the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Everybody seems to think, you know, Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. Okay, that's kind of been settled, I think, from the mock draft people. But when it comes to Trey Lance and Justin Fields, I see both of them as high as number three or number four, and I see both of them as low as like 25.
It all depends, John. Like I said, I don't put that much stock in what these prognosticators say, because it changes. I would say they'll probably be a little bit closer this year because of the you know, with the restrictions and everything. You can't really see the kids like you used to. You can't see them work out like we once did, you know, when they were going to John Gruden's quarterback camp and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But, again, like I said, it all depends on what teams, you know, feel like, you know, the guy that they want, if he's there or if he's not going to be there, whether or not they want to pull the trigger early or not. It's all going to be predicated on that. We all kind of know Trevor Lawrence is going to be first.
Right.
And then everybody else after that got to get in line, figure out who they want to get.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and just because Zach Wilson's the new hotness doesn't necessarily mean the Jets would take him at two. Doesn't even necessarily mean the Jets will be not trading out of that pick, even though, you know, they seem to be, you know, this train of thought that the Jets want to move on from Sam Darnold. And so we'll see how all this works out. Again, it's going to be a fascinating week here. First things first, though, before we ever get to that point, is we have to establish from a Falcons standpoint who, if anybody's going to restructure, and who is going to be cut for them to be able to get down to the salary cap. But the first thing that has to happen, according to, you know, Ian Rappaport here, is the NFL's got to come out and tell everybody what the heck the cap is. And until they do, we can't possibly know. All right, top of the hour rolls around here. All right, so tomorrow is Tuesday, and it is the deadline for the tag, but maybe that gets moved. We'll see. All right, you pass along the torch.
Andy Randy coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Everybody have a safe and wonderful day. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.